The toll of gun violence in this country is immense. According to the Gun Violence Archive, last year there were more than 15,000 deaths and 30,000 injuries nearly. And that's not even counting the tens of thousands of suicides still being tallied. We've seen it here in relatively low crime Bloomington Normal. There were 50 shootings in 2019, touching all corners of the community. To face the threat, the Department of Justice recently announced Project Guardian, aimed squarely at gun crimes. It calls for closer coordination between federal prosecutors and their state, local, and federal partners. Ryan Denham speaks with U.S. Attorney for Central Illinois John Millhiser about the initiative.
A lot of the things we might have been doing, or individual partners might have been doing, but not collectively. So it's sharing information, whether it be from the FBI with the state police, with state and locals, or state and locals sharing information up to the FBI or the state police. And so I think a lot of the components of it were in place, but this is a focus on working together to identify who these individuals are and then assess the threat. And then how are we going to deal with it, whether it be a mental health issue and work with the state and locals to involuntarily commit an individual who is a threat to themselves or someone else. So they meet that criteria for involuntary commitment. Or you look at, is this make sense as a felon in possession of a firearm? Or is it a straw purchaser? Is it somebody that is purchasing firearms, not for them, but for other individuals? And making sure that information is relayed and those individuals are prosecuted. The ATF is tasked with sharing this information. And they have before. I think it's just makes them aware of this is a priority for the administration to reduce violent crime and to go after these gun offenders. So while a lot of the components of it might have been in place, it's more of a focus on working together to solve the problem. Because as you know, when I spent time as state's attorney and I couldn't do it by myself, same as U.S. attorney, same with a local sheriff or a police department, they can't do it by themselves. They need the assistance of other law enforcement agencies. And quite frankly, community members also. When you look at individuals with a mental illness, that's somebody, if they're identified, that's something I don't have the ability to counsel those individuals. But there are folks in the community that do. They specialize in that area, and or working with juveniles. It seems like more and more over the last several years, violent crime and gun crime has been committed by juveniles. And we have to try to stem the tide on that. And so it's working with these agencies and these community groups that work with juveniles to try to divert them from the system so they're not, when they're 20, 24 years old, sitting in prison. For many years. We want to stop that behavior before it gets to that.
Now, have you had any cases that sort of fall within the Project Guardian umbrella up to this point?
We have. When looking around the district, we have had several cases involving gun crime, where we have individuals, whether it be a felon in possession or guns involved in the sale of drugs. The drug use, people always want to, we want to legalize drugs. We want to do this. We want to do that. But I don't want to talk about that issue. That's for a different debate. But I know that in the cases I see, when there are drug sales, there is violence and there are guns involved. So looking at those cases, when there's drugs and there's guns, that is a potentially federal case. So we're going to look at each and every one of those. And if it makes sense for us to take federally, then we're going to prosecute them on the federal side.
So supply of guns is a pretty major issue in this country. It does not seem all that hard to get an illegal gun, even in our community, Bloomington Normal, when, people leave them in unlocked cars, unlocked closets in their home. Does Project Guardian do anything about that? That moment when a legal gun becomes an illegal gun?
Yes, and part of it is to identify those individuals that shouldn't have guns and get them out of the hands of those individuals. You know, a lawful gun owner with a gun is not a threat to anyone. In fact, I would argue that is a benefit to the community and makes the community safer. But we have these individuals that should not have these guns, whether they're selling drugs or they have a mental illness or they want to go commit violent acts with that gun. Those are the individuals that have to be targeted. And when you look at individuals obtaining these guns, obviously in Illinois, you have to have a FOID card to go to a store to buy a gun. But there are many, many guns that are sold on the black market, that are sold on the street. And so it's trying to determine how those guns are getting out there, whether it be a a gun store burglary, which unfortunately there's been several of those around the district, where you have 10, 20, 30 guns stolen at once. Those guns are out there in the community. So making sure that individuals that are selling guns are taking the appropriate steps to lock those guns up and make sure that they can't be stolen. And kind of that awareness campaign to those individuals selling guns. Also, again, I mentioned straw purchasers, going after those individuals that are buying guns, several different guns, even though they're not theirs. They're buying them for a boyfriend or someone else who is a prohibited person that can't have a gun. Identifying those individuals and making sure they're prosecuted.
Hmm. Well, certainly there is a distinction between sort of the everyday gun violence that we see in different parts of your district, be it Peoria, Bloomington, Normal, Champaign, Urbana, and then mass shooting incidents, which, you know, they probably attract more headlines, but statistically probably less. Can you expand a little bit on the disruption and early engagement program, DEEP, which is part of Project Guardian?
Right. So DEEP is when looking at those mass shooters and what can we try to put in place to identify those individuals early on. And there's three components. First is identifying those individuals, working with our state and locals, whether it be a local sheriff who knows somebody who has made these threats, and this is reported to them, making sure that information is shared with a group that would include the state police, include the FBI, include all these law enforcement agencies with the purpose of, okay, here's a threat. Let's, once it's identified, assess it. Is this a valid threat? What do we immediately have to do to make sure that this person doesn't carry out whatever threat was made? And the third one is, what is in place? Once it's identified and assessed, what's in place to deal with that issue? And that's law enforcement working with mental health providers, working with schools, working with employers, working with a whole host of different community agencies and social service groups to deal with the issue. Because again, my lane as a prosecutor, there are certain things that I don't have the ability to do. It's out of my area of expertise, but there are folks out there that do have an area of expertise, dealing with juveniles or dealing with those who are mentally ill and identifying those and then providing services and support for those individuals and, you know, making sure they don't carry out those violent acts with that gun, whether it be them committing violent acts against other people and then themselves or just other people or just themselves. While I think a lot of the components of DEEP, this disruption and early engagement program, were there, it's a better communication of all these partners working together to try to stop that next shooting. And we have to do something. We can't sit by and just say, well, you know, if it happens again, we'll prosecute them. You know, that's not good enough. So we have to try to identify them as early as possible and disrupt whatever they're doing and use all of our available resources in the community to make this happen.
So earlier you mentioned that there's a sort of a troubling movement toward gun crimes involving juveniles. Can you talk about this BLAST program that your office kind of coordinates? That touches the lives of young people as well.
It does very much so. BLAST is, it's an acronym, but not really, in that it's Building Lasting Relationships with Law Enforcement and the Community. So obviously that's just B and the L. On the AST, there is no word that, so it's just BLAST. But what that is, so it's a program for high school students to make them aware of the dangers of law enforcement, that when the police are out there on a traffic stop in the middle of the night, that's a dangerous endeavor. So the state police has been a big partner, and we have five breakout sessions in our BLAST. It lasts 4 to 5 hours in our office, or if it's not close to Springfield, we'll do it at a sheriff's department or some training facility that has multiple.
So you move it around the district, these sessions?
Correct. Multiple conference rooms. And we have breakout sessions. So one is, I mentioned the traffic stops. State police has been great. They're a great partner in this, in describing to the kids, one, the dangers in traffic stops. So we'll actually have the kids simulate as if they're sitting in a car at a table. We'll have one of the students come in and demonstrate. They're the police officer walking up to a car. And the troopers will take them through that. Some dangers involved in that. The importance of accurate information when you first come up. And the kind of the thought process to get those students to understand what the police are thinking. Also, part of it, if you look around the country in law enforcement, their numbers are down. It seems to me that over the last several years, there's been an attack on law enforcement. And one way to combat that is to get out there the message of all the great things that the police are doing and law enforcement is doing. And so we have, we talk to the students about a career in law enforcement. And also a career maybe in the criminal justice system, but they don't want to be a police officer carrying a gun. We have in our office three individuals who are in our victim witness unit. There is a therapy dog that we have access to that can help with victims. So you could have some individual that really likes dogs, really wants to help somebody, wants to be involved in the system, doesn't want to be a law enforcement officer, a sworn officer. So that's a way they can get involved. We also, in the state's attorney's office, we have 77 employees. Of those, 37 are attorneys. So we have 40 that are non-attorneys that do all these different things to make the office run, from budget to contracting to all these different areas, so they can see, hey, there are all these other parts of this criminal justice system to make it work. And it gives them thoughts on what they're going to do. We hope all these high school kids are going to be gainfully employed and contributing to society, and it gives them some options and things to think about.
How often are you going to be doing these BLAST programs?
Well, I told Mike, and a shout out to Mike Emery, former sheriff here in McLean County. He is a great asset to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I told Mike in the fall we had one. I said, I'm going to do 20 of them, 20 in 2020. So we plan on doing them all around the district. I hope to be here in Bloomington Normal sometime soon, because I think it's a great way to talk to these kids, answer questions, and have them meet their local law enforcement folks who, quite frankly, 24/7 are out there protecting them.
Okay. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with U.S. Attorney John Millhiser, whose Central District of Illinois includes McLean County and Peoria County, among others. I wanted to end on a subject I'm sure you are eager to discuss. Your boss, Attorney General William Barr, has faced some criticism in the last week or two over the Department of Justice lowering the prison sentence recommendation for a longtime ally of the president, Roger Stone. I want to ask you what you can tell our listeners about how things work in the Central District when it comes to how much like prosecutorial independence you have in your office. I'm sure it's something that's on people's minds.
Yeah, it's been asked before, quite frankly, if politics play a part in anything we do on the prosecution side. And the answer is zero. They play no part. I spent many years as the same county state's attorney. And then that's an elected position. So I ran. I was elected. People voted for me. Once I got into office, politics played zero part in what I did. I, in every single case, look at the specific facts and try to do justice, try to make the community a better place in prosecuting that case. And so nothing has changed in my new role as the U.S. attorney. I was appointed. I work for the attorney general, but politics plays no part in anything we do in the office. We look at every case individually based on its specific facts and prosecute it accordingly, seeking justice in every case, working with law enforcement. And so that has never, it's not a concern of mine. It is, you know, we have dedicated professional prosecutors in the office, and that's what they do. And politics does not play a part in anything they do or in any case whatsoever.
Are there practical things that you do to protect against that, other than just saying it can't happen, it doesn't happen? Are there specific things you do, firewalls you set up, things like that?
Yeah. So obviously, if there's any conflict, we have individual AUSAs or assistant U.S. attorneys working on cases. I mean, they can't have any relationship to any of the parties that are involved in the case. Obviously, that makes sense. Also, the review process. We have four branches in the Central District, Springfield, Urbana, Peoria, and Rock Island. Each branch has a branch supervisor. We also have a criminal chief that sits in Springfield. So in looking at cases, there's a review process before charges are filed. On the federal side, there are sentencing guidelines. So you look at those guidelines, make recommendations based on the specific facts of that case and the criminal history of the defendant. And ultimately, whether charges are filed or not are 100% the discretion of the prosecutor's office. Obviously, we go through the grand jury, and the grand jury has to find probable cause. Then a case proceeds to trial, and actual official charges are filed in that grand jury indictment. But then in sentencing, that's the discretion of the judge, and that's their lane. We make recommendations based on the specific facts of the case, but ultimately that is up to the judge in the case.
That's U.S. Attorney John Millhiser, whose Central District of Illinois includes McLean County, Peoria County, and 44 others. I'm Ryan Denham.
Two of Millhiser's predecessors as U.S. Attorney in Central Illinois, Jim Lewis and Jan Miller, are among the 2,000 former Department of Justice officials who've signed a letter calling for William Barr's resignation as Attorney General. You can see their comments at WGLT.org.